Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward. This is our third show in a three-part series celebrating the very popular comedy show, Fibber McGee and Molly. During the war years, their show and Bob Hope's were considered the most patriotic shows on the air. Today we have two shows with some patriotic humor as Fibber gets carried away with his idea of helping the war effort. Enjoy Fibber McGee and Molly, Whack Commission for Fred Nittany's Daughter, first broadcast October 12, 1943 on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax, Johnson's Car New, and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. Reason you use wax in your home on wood, leather, enameled, and metal surfaces is for their protection. Considering this fact, isn't it very natural that Johnson's wax finishes have been called upon to render this same protective service to countless products used in the war? Wax coatings for steel shell cases, airplane finishes, black wax for bayonets. The list is much too long to read to you. It even includes paints impregnated with wax and special wax finishes to render soldiers' uniforms and tents water repellent. The makers of Johnson's Wax have turned out many millions of packages of these special products for war use, and they're proud to be able to do so. The next time you use one of the familiar Johnson's Wax products on your floors, furniture, and woodwork, remember that wax also has gone to war, and you can help by conserving your own supply of Johnson's Wax. A little goes a long way. Nobody worries more about public affairs or carries more keys on his chain or waits more impatiently for the morning mail than a guy who hasn't much of anything to do. And here, bustling importantly into the house with a huge stack of letters, we find the Squire of 79 Wistful Vista as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Molly, look at the mail. Must be a dozen letters here. 20, maybe. And several special deliveries.
Special deliveries?
Yeah.
Well, the butcher and the grocer must be getting impatient, huh?
These aren't bills. Let's see now. Oh, here's one from our new roomer, Alice Darling. It's for her. From Fort MacArthur.
Oh.
Boy, he's got it bad. He's even put a comma between Alice and Darling. Look at it.
Oh, my goodness. This is a stack of mail, isn't it? Oh, here's another one for Alice Darling.
Mm.
And another. Mm. And all these special deliveries are for her.
Fine thing. That's what you get for being big-hearted and renting a room to somebody. They got to hog all the mail. What's she doing, running a Lonely Hearts Club?
Oh, listen, don't be silly, dearie. She's a very attractive girl and must have a lot of friends.
She's just a flapper getting a lot of mushy letters from a gang of cake eaters.
McGee, your slang is strictly 1919. You mean she's a slick chick getting a neat note from a large sarge.
Yeah, but what I always... for the love... If I've answered that phone for that sleeping beauty once this morning, I've answered it 14 times.
Well, it's nice to have a little activity in the place. Personally, I welcome a little troubled water on the old oil. Answer the phone, McGee.
Okay. McGee's residence. Huh? Who? Miss Darling. I'm sorry, bud. She can't come to the phone. She's gone bye-bye with winking, blinking, and not. Huh? Okay, Georgie. Says to tell them three bumps to lay off if they don't want a poke in the nose.
Well, I'll add Georgie to the list. She'll be very... Oh, Here's a letter for you, McGee.
Oh, not really. You sure it isn't for Alice Darling in character for McGee?
No. This is really for you.
Oh.
Who's it from?
Let's see. Well, I'll be a... It's from good old Fred Nittany, Starved Rock, Illinois.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Probably wants me to go back into vaudeville with him.
Say, what kind of an act did you have, she asked with a shudder.
Oh, songs and witty sayings.
Yeah?
Played the Butterfield Circuit.
Well.
Wore straw hats and carried canes and done harmony and wisecracks. You know, like, did you take a bath? No, is there one missing and all stuff?
What were you carrying the canes for? Self-defense?
Oh, we murdered them. I'll never forget one time
Never mind, dearie. Read the letter.
Huh? Oh. Oh, yeah. It says, Dear Fibber, I take my pen in hand to put this on.
Well, go on.
I can't. There's a big blank space here where Fred went out to sharpen his pencil. Ah, here he is, back again. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm taking some of these. Hey, you know what? Fred's kid is in Whistle Vista.
Who?
Fred's kid. Anita Nittany.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Says she's going to join the wax and wants to use my name as a referendum.
Oh.
By George, any daughter of old Fred Nittany has got my approval. I couldn't do too much for old Fred. By George, if I don't wangle a commission in the wax for old Fred's kid...
McGee, you can't do that.
Why can't I? I guess I know a few people in this town. I guess I can pull a few strings on behalf of doing something for an old pal like old Fred Nittany.
Yeah, but the wax don't do business that way. The girl will have to enlist and earn her promotion.
Oh, yeah? I guess you never watched me do any political maneuvering, Mrs. McGee. I got more angles than a folding ruler. Down at the city hall, they call me the sexton on account of I know where all the bodies are buried.
Nevertheless, it won't do you any good in getting anybody a commission.
Oh, no? Well, Jimmy Doolittle is a friend of mine, ain't he?
Yes?
And he's now a general, ain't he? So draw your own conclusions. Come on, let's go downtown. I'll contact a few of my connections and get things
Hello,
all set.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mr. McGee.
Oh, hi, Alice.
Good morning, Alice, dear. Heavenly days, child. You ought to be in bed. You didn't get home from work till 8:30 this morning.
I know, Mrs. McGee. I'm going back to bed in a few minutes. Were there any phone calls for me?
Any phone calls? Why, you got calls from Georgie, Al, Frankie, Mokey, Slim, Cecil, Pete, Herb, and a guy with a lisp that when I picked up the receiver, he says, get who this is.
Oh, that would be Andy. He doesn't really lisp.
No, he doesn't?
No. No, he works on the same shift I do and burned his tongue trying to see if the soldering iron was hot. And it was. I'm sort of engaged to Andy, though not really engaged, because I don't think a girl is committed to anything just because she wears a man's AF of L pin on her sweater. Am I? Does it? I mean, is she?
Why, certainly not. A girl isn't really committed to anything until she loans the man enough to make the final payment on the engagement ring.
Incidentally, sis, there's a flock of mail for you. Most of it's from the Army and Navy. A couple from the Marine Corps. Haven't you got any chums in the cavalry?
Huh? I used to have, but I broke off with him on account of he was always writing me that he got thrown off his horse again. And I always say that if a man's own horse doesn't like him, I don't think he's the kind of a fellow a girl should be engaged to him. Don't you?
That's very shrewd of you, dearie. If a man can't stick to one horse, he'd never be true to one woman. Now listen, you go back to bed. And when you get up, there'll be coffee on the stove, and you'll find bacon and eggs in the refrigerator.
Oh, you're so sweet, Mrs. McGee. I'm afraid I'm an awful lot of trouble.
Oh, I'll say
McGee.
When you come down again, sis, don't forget to call Georgie, Al, Frankie, Mokey, Slim, Cecil, Pete, Herb, and Andy.
You mean I didn't get a call from Bert?
No. That was all, Alice.
Who's Bert?
Oh, he's my really boyfriend.
Oh.
He's tall, dark, and time and a half. Well, thank you for everything, and don't worry about disturbing me.
Don't worry about disturbing her. Don't worry about disturbing her, she says. Ain't that a pip? That kid's got more brass than all the hats in the Pentagon building. Well, come on, Molly. I got to get downtown and see about getting Fred Nittany's kid a commission.
I warn you, McGee, getting a commission in the wax won't be so...
Hello. She's asleep. Goodbye. Come on, let's get down.
Billy Mills and the orchestra play the hit tune from Oklahoma. People will say we're in love.
Same place as the regular army, next door at the post office. Boy, won't Fred Nittany's kid be surprised when I look her up and hand her a colonel's commission? I'll probably have to catch her when she faints.
Well, bring a friend with you, McGee, and somebody'll have to catch me, too.
Still skeptic, eh? Who do you think pulled the strings with President Wilson to make Pershing commander-in-chief in the last war?
You?
Don't you wish you knew?
Yes, don't you?
Well, there's no use having political influence if you can't use it for your friends.
Say, I wish you'd stop bragging about your political pull, McGee. Mm-hmm. Or use it to get our garbage hauled away more than once every 3 weeks.
Now, I already took care of that. That sanitary commissioner lost his job last week. Didn't you hear? That's what happens when they trifle with McGee.
You mean the sanitary commissioner was fired?
Well, practically. He was kicked upstairs, as we say in politics. He's city treasurer now.
Well, I hope you never get sore at the mayor. He'd make a very poor governor. Oh, McGee, look who's coming down the street. Uncle Dennis.
Uh-oh. He said he was going out this morning to look for a job. But anybody who hires that mug would have to be pretty desperate. Uncle Dennis could work 24 hours a day and still be an absentee.
Well, now, just the same poor old Uncle Dennis. Ah, hello there, Uncle Dennis.
Hi, Uncle.
Oh, hello there. Have you heard the news?
Have the Yanks taken Rome?
No, just St. Louis. Had a little bet on St. Louis, too. Thought I might pick up a couple of bucks. Guess it wasn't in the cards, you might say.
I thought you were going out to look for a job. Or didn't you have any invisible ink to write your character references with?
Now, McGee.
You wouldn't dare say that to me if I wasn't wearing glasses.
You're not wearing glasses.
All the more shame to you, picking on a man that can't see his face in front of his hand.
Say, did you have any luck getting a job, Uncle Dennis?
Not a bit, Makusha, not a bit. Here I am, tramping the streets from morning till night, just an honest man trying to pick up a couple of bucks. And what happened? Nothing. Why, one place they wouldn't even open the door and talk to me. I hammered on the door for 2 hours.
Ah, what place was that, you poor darling?
It was the fly swatter factory across the river.
They've been out of business for 2 years, and you knew it.
If they'd open the door and listen to me, they'd be back in business. What a great idea for them. Two fly swatters for the price of one. Use one in each hand. The fly can't watch both of them at once. Boom! You got them.
You see, McGee, with ideas like that, Uncle Dennis would be a success anywhere.
Where else did you try, Uncle?
Tried the airplane plant, too.
The airplane plant?
The airplane.
They've been advertising for help ever since Pearl Harbor. Didn't they have anything for you?
Oh, of course they did. And you know what they wanted to pay? $60 a week and overtime.
Well, what was the matter with that?
It's too much. I'm not with them. I told them that. They said I was fool. I said I was that. They said I was too. I said I was that. And the battle was on. He left with his right.
Yes, yes.
That's all. He connected. And I'll not work for a man that uses his fist on his employees.
The trouble with you is you're just lazy.
Step outside and say that.
We are outside.
Oh, so we are. Well, I'm not for one to be making a scene in a public place. Oh, I guess I'll be running along now. There's still time for a well-meaning man to pick up a couple of bucks. So, give you a look at me and stamp in the streets for a moment.
Poor Uncle Dennis, you know, he tries so hard.
Yeah, he succeeds, too. The job hasn't caught up with him yet. Hey, we better get going. I don't know what time the recruiting office closes.
McGee, I wish you'd reconsider this thing. In the first place, you don't even know Anita Nittany.
I don't have to know her. Any daughter of good old Fred is bound to be a fine woman. Just the type to be a wonderful whack officer. Ah, I can hardly wait to see the kid's face when I pin those oak leaves on her shoulder and say, well, Colonel Nittany...
Colonels have eagles on their shoulders.
Well, I can scare them away long enough to pin the oak leaves. Besides, if she's the kind...
Hello, folks. Where are you going?
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox. Well, McGee's on his way to the wax recruiting office.
To the wax recruiting office? You'll never get away with it, pal. They'll spot you for a man right away.
I'm not going on my own account, Eagernitz. I'm merely using my influence to get a friend of mine's daughter a commission.
Yeah, he claims it's all a matter of influence, Mr. Wilcox. Just because he knows a couple of aldermen.
I know more than just a couple of aldermen. I got wires right into the White House.
Yeah, he really has, Mr. Wilcox. Two shares of AT&T.
Look, pal, before you make a complete chump of yourself, don't start monkeying around with the Army. The WACs are part of the Army, you know. And they're slightly allergic to hotshot civilians messing up the details.
I know what I'm doing, Junior. I'm an old Army man myself.
Yeah. Remind me to show you a picture of him in his 1918 uniform, Mr. Wilcox. It fits him like a glove.
I bet you.
A first baseman's glove.
Well, that's neither here nor there.
And that's where it fits, too.
Look, Fibber.
Yeah?
I have a cousin who's a lieutenant in the WACs. And I happen to know you can't pull any wires or use any influence to get commissions. Promotions are strictly a matter of merit.
Don't be so under-sophisticated, Wilcox. A drag is a drag, in or out of the Army.
Okay, okay, pal, okay. Go ahead and stick your neck out. But I know my wax.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Wilcox. Get to it.
Get to what?
Get to what? Get to what? Get to what? What do you usually get to?
I don't know what you mean, Fibber. All I'm trying to say is that a woman who joins the WACs isn't subject to outside political pull. She's in the Army, and it's strictly up to her and the Army how far she rises in the ranks. And the smart woman can go far, just as a smart woman in civilian life finds out the best way to run a home.
Yeah? Go on.
Huh?
Go on, go on. Get it over with.
Get what over with?
That rat of Wilcox, quit stalling. We know you want to talk about what you want to talk about.
Look, pal, I was trying to be a right guy, do you see? I was trying to show you I don't have to throw in a pitch for the product every time I open my mouth.
Well, we just thought that...
So what happens? You won't let me be just a friend. No, you got to force me to talk business.
Well, gee whiz, kid.
All right, so you asked for it. So Johnson's Wax does save hours of housekeeping by sealing surfaces against dust and dirt and dampness.
All right.
It's the finest product of its kind that money can buy. And most housewives know it, and I know it, and you know it. And doggone it, what if I am proud of it? Here we were talking on an entirely extraneous subject, and what happens? You gotta rip me into talking business. I think that's the pettiest thing.
My goodness, McGee, maybe he didn't intend to talk about it.
Don't worry, Racine don't send him that dough every week for reticence, and he knows. He's just a smart... Oh, hi, Doc.
Hello, McGee. Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hello, Dr. Gamble.
Now, we can't stop and bat the bat with you now, Doc. We've got to get down to the Army recruiting office. It's in the next block here.
The Army recruiting office?
Yep.
If they're letting the bars down that far, I'll tell my grandfather. He's been itching to get back in the Army ever since Bull Run. He's in better shape than you.
Well, it isn't on McGee's own account, Doctor. He's going to make some inquiries about the WACs.
Yeah, going to get a commission.
Well, I'll bet Ovita Culpabi will be very, very unhappy about this. I knew the Army girdled the globe, but you've got a globe there that a GI girdle wouldn't come anywhere near.
I'm not joining the WACs. I'm doing this for a friend of mine's daughter. I'm going to wangle her a captaincy or a colonelcy or a majorcy, see?
Yes. I've been trying to tell him he can't do it, Doctor. Am I right?
Certainly you're right. Now look, my boy, nobody needs any drag to get into the WACs. All she has to do is fill out an application. If she's qualified, she'll get in.
Sure she'll get in. As a dough private, but that ain't what
I'm... As a what, McGee?
A dough private. That's a female buck private. that's a different thing. This is a friend of mine's daughter, Doc. I owe it to him to get the kid a commission.
Oh, don't talk poppy rot, McGee.
Huh?
It'll take more than a two-bit city hall hanger on like you to get her a commission. The Army isn't taking superfluous advice from civilian fatheads.
Who's a civilian fathead?
Any civilian's a fathead who thinks he can kid the Army into commissioning a raw recruit.
Don't you call Fred Nittany's daughter a raw recruit, by George.
Oh, stop it, McGee. You're way out on a limb with this thing, and you know it.
I don't know it, and I took about all the kidding I'm going to took. One more smart crack out of you, Doc, and I'll forget you're 20 years older than I am, and I'll slap you so hard on the chops you couldn't get two red points for him.
You don't say. You don't say. You make one pass at me, Moose Jaw, and you'll spend the next 3 months knitting an afghan in the fracture ward.
Oh, we have an afghan, Doctor. Let him make a sweater.
If there's going to be any knitting in the fracture ward, you pill-peddling palooka, it'll be between you and your bones. Just because you chiseled some small-time aspirin academy out of a medical degree, don't come to high and mighty me. Take your mail order stethoscope and go listen to a horse.
I am listening to a horse, you whinny little. Of all the dumb animals I ever heard talk, you make less sense than a goose with a goiter.
What up, you Duke? Okay, I will, and if you'll just tell us where to ship the body, I'll... Hey, what time is it?
4:45, dearie.
What time's the recruiting office close?
5:00.
Oh, thanks. My gosh, I didn't know it was so late. Well, come on, Molly.
Well, see you later, Doc, old man.
I'm going to the recruiting office myself, McGee. I'm the medical examiner for the wax.
Are you really, Doctor?
Well, come along then, Doc. Watch me get a commission for this friend of mine's daughter.
Yes, this I shall have to see.
The King's Men sing, "I've Got Sixpence."
I've got sixpence, jolly, jolly sixpence. I've got sixpence to last me all my life. I've got tuppence to spend and tuppence to lend and tuppence to send home to my wife. Lucky wife, no cares have I to grieve me. No pretty little girl to deceive me. I'm happy as a lark, believe me, as we go rolling, rolling home. I've got fourpence, jolly, jolly fourpence. I've got fourpence to last me all my life. I've got tuppence to spend and tuppence to lend and no pence to send home to my wife. Poor wife, not a care have I to grieve me. No pretty little girl to deceive me. I'm happy as a lark, believe me. Rolling, rolling, rolling home. Jolly, jolly, tuppence, tuppence. I've got tuppence to last me all my life. I've got tuppence to spend. I've got no pence to lend. And no pence to send to my wife. Poor wife, not a care have I to grieve me. Not a pretty little girl to deceive me. I'm as happy as a lark, believe me.
Here we are, McGee, in 10 minutes to spare. Not that it'll take that long to find out you can't wangle a commission, as you call it.
We'll see, smart guy.
Come on, McGee. Time's a-wasting now.
Hello, Sergeant.
Good evening, Doctor. Could I do something for you?
Yes, you can tell these people something about the wax, if you will.
Certainly. Won't you sit down, please?
I'm making inquiries for a friend of mine's daughter, sis.
Call a sergeant, my boy.
Yes, tell him something about the wax, Miss Sergeant. I have an idea he doesn't realize some of the facts of your life.
In fact, Sergeant, he is laboring under the delusion that all you have to do to get a commission in the wax is to know the right people.
That's true, in a way, but...
Ah, what did I tell you, see?
The right people are the ones you meet in your 5 weeks of basic training. And then you may apply for officer candidate school, where you learn the right things to be an officer.
Oh, doesn't influence count for anything?
Oh, indeed it does.
Aha, you see, Doc, when
in the wax, you come under the influence of the best instructors the Army can supply. Furthermore, in a very short time, a whack is in finer health than she's ever experienced in civilian life. Her posture's better, and she has a new poise and assurance that will last her the rest of her life.
Then you don't think it's possible for somebody to get somebody a commission right off, huh?
Definitely not, madam.
Oh, no? I guess you're kind of naive, sis. Pull is pull, wherever it is. I got an idea. If I could get to some of your top people, I could do some finagling. Kind of lobby with Hobby, if you get what I mean.
If you are referring to Colonel Hobby,
now,
sir...
Don't get upset, Sergeant. My friend here is one of those citizens who had a traffic ticket fixed once and got the idea that everybody can be bought. Tell him some more about the wax.
Yes, Sue, it's very interesting. You know, I'd like to join myself, but I'm afraid of guns. I guess I'm just naturally not a pistol-packing mama.
The WACs are not a combat unit, madam. But for every woman who joins the WAC, the man is free to move up to the front line.
Yeah, but about...
We need hundreds of thousands of women to join us, so our army will be that much stronger. There are now 155 jobs a woman can do just as well or better than men. And the sooner those jobs are filled, the sooner we'll have the strength to end the war.
Yeah, but about getting the commission, Sergeant,
I... receive regular army pay and all the extra benefits that regular army men do.
Yeah, but about...
A private receives $50 a month, free and clear of all her expenses, which is a great deal more than most of them ever had left at the end of the month in civil life.
Well, for instance, if this friend of mine's daughter only got to be a captain right off the bat...
How many times do you have to be told your friend will have to earn a commission?
Pipe down, Doctor. Now, look, sis, here's what I want you to do, see? Get in touch with a few of the gals at the top, see? Tell them if they can swing a commission for this friend of mine's daughter, I'm in a position to get a few favors at the city hall, see? Square deal all around.
Just a moment, sir.
Hmm?
You don't seem to realize that what you are proposing is tantamount to bribery.
Tantamount had nothing to do with it. I did tell a few guys from RKO, but they don't know.
I must inform you that an attempt to use undue influence on an officer of the United States Army is a federal offense. And in wartime approaches the crime of treason.
This is what I came to see. Carry on, Sergeant.
Now, wait a minute, sis. You don't seem to realize who you're talking to. I'm Fibber McGee, and I'm one of the biggest...
Who did you say?
Fibber McGee.
He's one of the biggest.
Why, I've often heard my father speak of you, Mr. McGee.
Oh, you have, huh? Local guy, your old man?
No, South Rock, Illinois, Mr. Fred Nitty.
Fred Nitty?
Heavenly days, are you Anita Nitney?
Yes, madam.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Your genealogy is beside the point, Mr. McGee. And I owe you an apology.
You owe him an apology?
Yes. My father gave me a letter to mail to him 6 months ago, and I just found it yesterday in the bottom of my suitcase. I hope you got it. Now, I'm very sorry, Mr. McGee, but if you'll excuse me, it's time to close the office.
That's quite all right, dearie. I'm sure...
And we want you to come up to the house some night, sis, and we'll give your old man a good kicking around.
Yeah.
Ah, good old Fred. Why to think that
good
we're...
Good night, Mr. McGee. Good night, Doctor.
Oh, my gosh, she putting her almost through us out. Fred Nitney's kid throwing me out of her office. Why, that'd break Fred's heart if he knew it.
You were just lucky she didn't throw you into Leavenworth, my boy.
Aren't you a little ashamed of trying to be a big shot, McGee?
Huh. On the contrary, you ought to congratulate me.
Congratulate you? For what?
In all my army experience, this is the first time I ever argued with a sergeant and didn't wind up peeling potatoes.
Most of you have linoleum floor coverings in your kitchens. Many of you also have gay patterns of linoleum in your entrance halls or on your bathroom floors. Now, if you're not protecting these linoleum surfaces, let me add a word of caution. Don't clean them by the old-fashioned scrubbing method. Linoleum manufacturers themselves and housekeeping institutes recommend that linoleum floors be protected and maintained by a polish like Johnson's Glow Coat. Chances are you'll find that many of your neighbors are already using Glow Coat on their own floors. They'll tell you that there's practically no work to it because Glow Coat is self-polishing. It needs no rubbing or buffing. You simply apply and let dry. I'm sure they'll also tell you that Glow Coat makes their floors sparkle with beauty. Easy to clean because spilled things are wiped up in a jiffy. And for your own information, the regular use of Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat actually makes linoleum last 6 to 10 times longer. Now, that isn't hay, is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, or I should say just ladies, if you're between 20 and 50, in good health, are an American citizen, and think you can pass a mental alertness test equivalent to 2 years of high school, the WACs need you. You can get all the information you want at any Army recruiting station. So if you want to do a great job for Uncle Sam now and make a fine one for yourself after the war, fill out an application tomorrow.
That's right. The Army needs your skill. Remember, a WAC with an act can really back the attack.
Good night.
Good night, all.
The This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program has reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That whack put Fibber in his place, didn't she? And it's interesting to see how the musical interludes changed over the years. You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast every week over the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and next, our favorite windbag, Fibber McGee, is invited to give a speech on the radio. It's a delightful show. Fibber McGee and Molly, Red Cross speech on the radio, first broadcast March 7th, 1944, on NBC.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax for Home and Industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. In your homes, you've known for a long time how to protect surfaces of all kinds with wax. I wonder if you realize that manufacturers of war material took a tip from your housekeeping methods and are using wax to protect the surfaces of many war products. That is true. And they should thank you women for this very good idea. Of course, the makers of Johnson's Wax helped them to discover these war uses for wax polishes, but it was your use of wax on your floors, furniture, and woodwork for metal, wood, paper, and leather surfaces that really showed them the way. For example, a very large optical manufacturer just wrote in recently to tell how Johnson's Wax solved one important problem for them by providing smooth, polished surfaces needed in testing fire control instruments. No doubt the smooth, polished surfaces of someone's floors or furniture first suggested this war use for wax. I guess you ladies should take a bow. When Omar Khayyam dashed off those immortal lines about how the moving finger writes, he must have seen the squire of 79 Wistful Vista poking away at the typewriter. Yes, the old firm has taken in a new member. It's now Hunt, Peck, and McGee. As we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Now, let's see what I got. And so I say to all you listening in tonight that if all of us do our part, part of us won't have to do it all. Hey, Molly, how's that?
How's what, dearie? I didn't hear what you said.
Well, gee whiz, listen. Wait a minute. Where was it? Oh, yeah. And so I say to all you listening in tonight, if all of us do our part, part of us won't have to do it all. That's a kind of a cute way of saying it, don't you think?
Very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But what's all this about listening in?
Hmm?
I thought you were giving this speech at the Elks Club.
Oh, well, the committee changed its mind. I'm going to give it over station WVIS.
What?
Yeah, they gave us 15 minutes tonight. Yeah. We can reach more people that way, they say.
You mean you're going to talk on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly days, isn't that exciting? Aren't you nervous?
Nah, nothing to it. I was practicing all morning with an umbrella for a microphone and never had a quiver.
You know, they say when you get in front of a real microphone, though, it's pretty scary.
Nah, not for me. What's Fatiman got that I haven't got? More books, that's all. Now, look, here's how I'm going to start my speech. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fibber McGee speaking.
Now, wait a minute. Why do you have to tell them your name? Won't the announcer introduce you?
Yeah, but I'm not taking any chances, baby. That announcer they got over there now is so used to reading the Russian war news, he can't be trusted with a simple little name like McGee. I'd likely wind up as Fibber Anovich, McGee and Rovaprosikov.
Oh, the Red Network, huh?
Besides, when I go on the air as a speaker, I want people to know who's talking to them. You never know who might be listening in, and I ain't so tied up this fall that I couldn't handle a political campaign here and there.
For which side?
The one that offers the most dough. Politically, I have my own ideas, but financially, I'm nonpartisan.
Incidentally, what made them pick you as the speaker tonight? I thought Mr. Wellington was the one who always did the oratory.
Well, it was a funny thing about that. At the luncheon last week, Wellington was supposed to give a little speech, but when it come time, he just sat there. He sat there looking funny and licking his lips. So I leaps up and I gave a nice little speech. Entirely extraneous, of course.
No, you mean extemporaneous. But what was wrong with Mr. Wellington?
Well, it seems like somebody had poured a lot of salt in his coffee and he couldn't even pronounce his own name for 2 hours.
Well, who on earth would do a dirty trick like that to poor Mr. Wellington?
Well, I guess I better finish. Now, let me see. Where's my notes? Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Red Cross needs your money. All right. This campaign is to raise $200 million. Mm-hmm. The Red Cross is the greatest symbol of practicing humanity in the world today. And when you give generously to it, you are helping people all over the world. Remember that it's as easy to give a dollar as it is to pass the buck. And when you...
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mr. McGee. What are you writing? A novel?
No. I'm writing a speech for the Red Cross campaign, Alice.
Himself is going to be on the radio, Alice. Mm-hmm. Maybe when the Red Cross hears him talk, they may want him to go all over the country.
Oh, I don't think it will be that bad, my dear. Creepers.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean, that bad? She meant that good.
Oh.
Imagine my very own husband talking to thousands of people on the air. I'm so thrilled.
Mm. Oh, shucks. It's nothing. Roosevelt does it all the time. Hey, you coming to the radio station with me tonight, Molly, or are you going to hear it at home?
Oh, I want to come with you, dearie. I'm going to sit out in the audience and clap till I split my gloves. Why don't you come with me, Alice?
Oh, I'd love to, Mrs. McGee, but it's Tuesday night, and always on Tuesday night...
Oh, you got a date, eh? Can't let your bobby socks cool off long enough to go hear a speech for a great organization like the Red Cross, eh?
Well, I...
Do you realize, my girl, that between January and November of 1943, the Red Cross packed over 5,300,000 food parcels?
Yes, but you see, Mr.
I can see that you got no sense of responsibility for the war front, Alice, for the war effort. Here I am, typing my fingers to the bone, trying to do what I can, raising dough for a good cause, and what are you doing? Out dancing the Charleston.
The Charleston McGee is as dead as the minuet. Just because you stopped dancing when the two-step went out, don't get the idea that Arthur Murray tossed in his chips.
See, I remember my father talking about the Charleston, Mr. McGee, but I
the
never...
The name of the dance ain't important, Alice. What I'm getting at is your flimsy reasons for not attending my speech tonight.
But, Mr. McGee, every Tuesday night...
Has it got to be every Tuesday night? Won't he let you off one night?
Who?
Whoever your date is with.
But it's with the Red Cross. Every Tuesday night, I roll bandages for 4 hours.
So can't he... Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, she was doing her best to me, but you were acting like a lot of other people.
Huh?
You were so busy waving the flag, you couldn't see what was going on.
I was not waving the flag. I just thought Alice wasn't interested, that's all. So you roll bandages for the Red Cross, do you, Alice? Every Tuesday.
Yes, except Thursdays. Oh. On Sunday nights, I dance with the servicemen at the canteen and help serve coffee and things. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday afternoon, I take books to hospitals. Can I help you type out your speech, Mr. McGee?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm only making one carbon anyway, Alice. Oh. One copy for me and one for the sound effects man at the radio station.
Sound effects?
Well, what sound effects do you need just to make a speech?
Oh, I ain't so dumb. I got some applause and cheers queued in at different places. Thanks for offering to help, Alice. I'm practically through typing it anyway.
Well, that's why I thought you ought to know.
Know what?
He's got the carbon in upside down. His extra copy will be backwards on the back of his original.
Huh?
Well, good luck, Mr. McGee. Well,
Well, I'll be... I have an interesting message for you tonight.
I've got one for you, too, McGee.
You have?
Yes, you put the carbon in backwards again.
What?
Well, dead red.
Billy Mills and the orchestra playing When They Ask About You.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, may I say that the Red Cross is the link between the serviceman and his family back home. So give generously to the Red Cross in this campaign for funds so we can give every possible serviceman every possible service. I thank you. Applause, cheers, and whistles. Hey, Molly, you can whistle through your teeth, can't you?
Yeah, but I only do it on special occasions, like trying to catch a waiter's attention or something. Why?
Well, look, after I say I thank you, I want you to leap up and start yelling and clapping and whistling, see? Kind of start a big spontaneous demonstration.
Well, haven't they got a phonograph record of crowds cheering they could play?
Oh, no, that wouldn't be ethical. This has got to be spontaneous. Like you starting it, and then maybe four or five guys I could hire at a buck apiece joining in, see?
I don't really think that you...
Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wellington.
Ah, good day, Mrs. McGee. It gives me great pleasure to see you. And, McGee, it gives me... censored.
Hi, Wellington. Take off your coat and park your overstuffed frame on our ditto Davenport.
Yeah, thank you, no. I was merely calling to ascertain whether or not you have or have not the speech or not, which you are, I think, to deliver, I'm sure, tonight, if possible, over WVIS, I am certain.
Yes, he has, Mr. Wellington, and it's a dandy if I ever heard one.
Got it all typewritten out, Wellington, and it's the best talk I ever gave, or my name ain't Trevor McGee.
Really? May I have a copy of your address, old fellow?
Sure, 79 Whistle Vista.
No, he means... he means the speech, McGee.
Oh, yeah. Sure, what you want it for, Wellington?
Why, the morning papers, old chap.
Oh.
For a cause of this scope and magnitude, the widest possible publicity is desirable.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, the public prints should have a copy for the morning editions, for that portion of the public which, unfortunately, were unable to hear the broadcast.
Well, McGee never would have thought of giving copies to the newspapers, Mr. Wellington. He's so modest, you know.
Yes.
Here you are, Wellington.
Yeah.
Take this copy.
Thank you very much.
I was saving it for the sound effect guy at the studio, but he can read off mine.
The sound effect man, my dear fellow.
Hmm?
This is a dignified appeal for funds to carry on the great work of the Red Cross. It is not an Olson and Johnson something's a poppin'.
Well, McGee just thought...
No, never mind, Molly. And don't you worry your little 6 5/8 head about it, Siggy, old boy. I know what I'm doing.
And it is a secret which will be kept down through the ages, I have no doubt. Oh, yes, McGee, be at WVIS no later than 8:30.
Okay, and take good care of that manuscript, Sig. And don't show it to anybody.
Why, of course not.
My, you certainly look nice today, Mr. Wellington. I wish McGee had paid more attention to his clothes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a regular bro bummel, Wellington. What's the idea of such a short cane?
I'm out for such a short walk. Good day.
I like Mr. Wellington. He's so clean-cut.
He would be if I could find my Boy Scout hatchet. Now, let me see. I better run over the speech again.
Say, you put in that bit about how the Red Cross operates all those 350 service clubs and recreation centers for men and women overseas?
Yeah, I got that in. But to me, the most important thing was the fact that the Red Cross gets information about war prisoners wherever it's possible. My gosh, that alone is enough to make you sit down and write them a big check.
It really is. Incidentally, how much time did you say WBIS gave you?
15 minutes. They told me I'd have about 12 minutes for my speech.
How many pages did you write?
18, but it's all single spaced. It'll go pretty fast.
How about music?
I didn't ask them, but if necessary, I'll sing myself on and off with a few bars of Pretty Red Wing or something. You know, I got to get showmanship into this thing. I remember one time...
Hello there, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. Hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm making a speech for the Red Cross campaign fund on the radio, and if you can...
Yes, I know. I'm going to be at WVIS myself, so I'll see you there.
What are you doing at the radio station, Junior?
Oh, I do some spot announcements.
Some what?
Spot announcements. Uh-huh. I tell how easy it is to wipe up spots.
Oh.
If the kitchen linoleum is protected and beautified with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. And in my spare time, I've been working out some sound effects. I've got them right here in this box, all wired up.
Oh, my gosh, Junior. That's a pretty complicated-looking gadget.
Yeah, how does it work?
I'll show you. Look, every time I need a certain sound effect, I press a certain button, see?
Mm-hmm.
I want a splash, I press the splash button. See?
Yeah, that's kind of hard to work into a conversation unless you're talking to a drip.
Well, I use it in my glow coat announcements, like this. I say, folks, give yourself a break. Stop knocking yourself out. scrubbing your floors the old-fashioned way. Use Johnson's self-polishing glow coat and stop working like a... It'll give your tired, dull linoleum the best beauty treatment you ever... saw. Try it today and give yourself time for recreation. Get your housework done so you can go out and kick the... around. Remember, Johnson's self-polishing glow coat shines as it dries. Requires no rubbing, no buffing. Give your dealer a... today. Well, what do you think of it?
Well, offhand, I'd say...
Yeah, me too. Get it off your hands as quick as possible.
You mean you don't like it?
Well, to be subtle, no.
Then I know I'm on the right track. See you tonight.
I think I heard that routine from KDKA in 1926,
McGee. Well, something's always new to somebody. We thought. I'll never forget the time. Hey, what time is it?
Well, you haven't got much time to get dressed and get down there, McGee. Are you taking a cab?
No, Doc Gamble said he'd pick us up. He'll find out from Wellington what time to be here. I'll run upstairs and take my
car. All right. Ah, there goes a good kid. As excited over this speech as if he hadn't copied almost everything out of the Red Cross booklet. Maybe I better read it over for him. During the past 2 years, the disaster preparations of the Red Cross have been widened to include storage at strategic points of blood plasma, blankets, cots, and clothing for emergency use. We hope enemy action may never strike our own cities, but if it does, the Red Cross stands ready. Come in. Oh, hello, Beulah.
Evening, ma'am. I just thought I'd stop by and see... Has you done something to this living room?
Why, no, Beulah. Everything's the same except the... Well, everything's the same except that black streak on the wall there.
Who do that?
Well, Mr. McGee did that. He started to strike a match on the back of his pants and missed. Struck it on the wall instead.
Oh! You see him do it, ma'am?
No, he told me about it.
Yeah, ma'am.
Don't you believe it?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
Because, ma'am, if Mr. McGee wants to strike a match on the back of his own pants, it ain't a target a man could reasonably miss. You sure you ain't done something to this room, ma'am? Oh, it's that easy chair. That's what it is.
What's the matter with it?
Mr. McGee ain't sitting in it. Don't look natural that way at all. But the reason I stop here, ma'am, is to ask you, how did the luncheon go last Friday, which I helped you prepare and dispense?
Oh, very smoothly, Beulah. That salad you made was delicious.
Well, that's on account I make it with terrapin vinegar, ma'am.
It's tarragon.
It is? Well, I'll get you another bottle then. You know, there's nothing like terrapin vinegar to make a salad. And how you like them little biscuits I made?
Oh, Beulah, they were marvelous. I ate 6 of them myself.
You ate 12, ma'am.
Oh, well. I always think that...
Hey, Molly.
Yes, McGee?
Where's my cup link?
In your cups.
Never mind, I found them.
All right.
What'd you say?
Never mind.
Oh, I thought you said all right.
I did.
What?
I did.
You did what?
I said all right.
Oh.
What?
Nothing, I just said all.
Oh!
Love that man. Yeah, what that man needs around here, ma'am, is somebody to take care of his clothes. And it better be me. You see, I arranged with Miss Toop to work over here every Tuesday after this, and you can expect me next week.
Oh, but, Beulah, I don't think we
could... I don't think you could either, ma'am. Get along without me.
Yeah, but how much...
Who cares how much work it is? I like you, Mr. McGee, and I'm moving in. Good night, ma'am.
Well, good night, Beulah, but I wish you'd wait till...
Till Tuesday, ma'am. That's what I thought, too. Good night.
Came in.
Somebody just went out.
Who?
Our new housekeeper.
I didn't know we had a new housekeeper.
Neither did I.
Huh?
Never mind, you'll be late for the broadcast. Hurry.
The Kingsmen sing The Kid with the Rip in His Pants.
Johnny Jones was just a country lad who tore his pair of trousers that he had. Every time he climbed the apple tree, 'twas then his britches parted company. Swinging down the country lane, without a thought of romance. cookie twice a week. He's always taking a chance. Minnows in the brook admire to dangle on the hook of the kid with a rip in his pants. Cool in the summertime, cold in winter too. When the breezes hit the rip, they go on whistling through. If you had one wish to make, wouldn't you love the chance to travel right along and sing a little song with a kid with a rip in his pants? In 29, a little boy of 6 would rip his pants and Ma would have to fix. 44 has found him in the fray. He tears his trousers in a different way. He tore them in a GI tank like his daddy in France. And he's the roughest, toughest yank, the kid with the rip in his pants. He was just a bashful guy, always wore a grin. But he's not bashful in the sky, he's in there pitching to win. He's still a boy, always taking a chance. He's Uncle Sammy's joy and pride. Let's get in there right beside the kid with a rip in his pants.
My gosh, I wish Doc would get here. I go on the air inside a half an hour.
Well, at least you present a novel appearance theory.
What do you mean?
Well, most men start pacing the floor after the doctor gets there.
Gee whiz. With an important speech like... Hey, where's my speech? I've lost my speech.
Did you have it upstairs when you dressed?
No, I don't think so. Or did I? No, I didn't. I don't think I did. Anyway, oh, my gosh, I've lost...
Oh, now here's Dr. Gamble. Ooh. Come in. Ooh. Hello, doctor.
Hello, Molly. Hello, Pip. Well, what's your 50% common stock running around for, Molly?
He's lost his speech.
Lost his speech? Great Scott, and he's got to go on the air. Maybe I can fix it. Come here, McGee. Open your mouth. Oh, this looks bad.
Hmm?
No inflammation. No swelling. Must have strained it talking too much. When did this come on?
When did what come on?
Your loss of speech. The time element's... Say, what is this? You're talking all right.
Why, of course he is, but he's got nothing to talk about.
I've lost my speech.
Now, wait a minute. I distinctly heard you speak, McGee. And
No, doctor. His typewritten speech. Oh. He can't find it.
I've lost it.
Oh, stop singing a tisket a tasket. Your speech didn't run away. Now, calm down. Where would you put an important paper if you're going to need it immediately?
He'd keep it in his hand.
Yes, I'd keep it. Oh. Here it is, in my hand. Gosh, that's great psychology, Doc.
Yes, I'm quite a mind reader. Uh-huh. I'd read your mind, McGee, but the small type hurts my eyes. Well, are we ready?
Are we late, Doctor?
Oh, no, we got lots of time. How'd the speech go, McGee?
Gonna knock him cold, Doc. Ought to raise a lot of dough for the Red Cross.
Are you gonna mention the home service for servicemen's families? And the 50,000 Red Cross nurses serving all over the world? And the 180 Red Cross service buildings already up or under construction?
I think he's covered all that, Doctor. But how did you get all that information?
Well, as a doctor, I know pretty well what they're doing. And believe me, it's worth every dollar you can dig up for them. They're doing a tremendous job for every boy and girl in the service and for their families at home.
I know, Doc. And, oh, by the way, I got a great finish for my talk, too. Uh-huh. I say, quote... So give generously to the Red Cross in this campaign for funds, so we can give every possible serviceman every possible service. Thank you, and good night. Applause, cheers, whistles.
That sounds very good. Well, come on, folks. My car's right outside.
Come on, McGee. Now, don't be so nervous.
Who's nervous?
Oh, no one. But you're the only one here who's wearing an overshoe on his head and got his foot in his hat.
Huh?
You ready, Molly?
Ready, Doctor.
Yeah.
In Studio J, McGee, right down this corridor.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Red Cross, and I want to tell you about the fibromyalgia. No. Ladies and gentlemen...
He's starting his speech by telling the audience that he doesn't have to tell them anything about the great work the Red Cross is doing, Doctor.
Splendid. Then what does he do?
Then he tells the audience what a great work the Red Cross is doing.
Oh.
Well, my gosh, you got to give him the main points of the thing. You got to...
Hold it, McGee. Now hold it. Here's Studio J. Let's swarm in. What are we waiting for?
Look at the sign, dear. It says on the air. Keep out.
Just finishing the program that precedes you.
Oh,
McGee.
I see.
Now, come on in here and we'll listen to it.
Okay.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, may I say that the Red Cross is the link between a serviceman and his family back home.
Why, that's Mr. Wellington.
Hey, he's given my speech.
How do you know it's your speech?
Listen.
So give generously to the Red Cross in this campaign for funds so we can give every possible serviceman every possible service. I thank you. Good night. Applause, cheers, and whistle. What is this?
So that's why he told me what time to bring you over here. That dirty double crosser!
Dirty double crosser!
He said he wanted a copy of my speech for the newspapers.
For the newspapers.
I'll kill him!
No, don't kill him!
I'll beat the Petunia!
You know the expression, fair weather friend, meaning the kind of person who stands by you while the sun is shining but disappears when you run into trouble? Well, you know, some products are like that. They look good, but they just can't take the punishment. They break down just when you need the most. Well, I can assure you that Johnson's Glow Coat is certainly not in that class. As you discover for yourself when the weather turns bad and your linoleum floors get all tracked up with wet and snow and outside dirt. How quickly and easily you can wipe up all that dirt with a damp cloth in a jiffy. That's because the film of Glow Coat acts as a protective shield, saving the surface underneath. And because you don't have to scrub linoleum floors anymore, you can save yourself hours of work, and you make your linoleum last 6 to 10 times longer. Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat needs no rubbing or buffing. You simply apply and let dry. It's one way you can practice conservation in your own home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the goal of the 1944 Red Cross War Fund is $200 million. It's important that they get it. Important not only to us, our families, and our country, but for the comfort and well-being of all our men and women in service. Remember, the Red Cross is not a government agency. It is dependent on you and me for support. So let's see that they get it.
Send your check or donation to the Red Cross in your community tomorrow morning. Wear the Red Cross on your lapel. It will show where your heart is.
Good night.
Good night, all.
The character of Mr. Wellington heard on this program was played by Ransom Sherman. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. We appreciate your tuning in each week for the finest in old time radio. We hope you can join us again next week when we keep you laughing with more radio comedy. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.